Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Just reminiscing about the old days. Hey, it's not the 99 season. It was the 2000 season.
Yeah, stop talking about 99, man.
We'll hopefully catch up with Chris here in just a few minutes.
Somebody sent me a graphic that says from 5 years ago. It's a picture of Tannehill, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, the AFC or the championship weekend.
And they're all walking into the Super Bowl stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so that they the NFL posted that on their Facebook account. It was like all of them basically for like the last 7 years, and Mahomes is the constant.
Right.
Which is crazy, but that's the way it is.
I mean, it reminds me of the Mahomes thing of like, Brady never had that receiver to take him to the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
I mean, he had Moss for a couple of years, but like a constant receiver, and then they didn't win the Super Bowl. And the same with Mahomes. I mean, just like Xavier Worthy is just great. I mean, of course, you got Kelsey, but I mean, it begins and ends with him. I mean, if he gets injured and you put in Carson Wentz, Titans beat this team. It's amazing how one guy can influence everything and influence everything that goes on with all the conspiracy theories that are thrown out there. But
so was it 07 that was Moss?
Yes. 17-0?
Yeah. What's crazy is that was Brady's best year up until his second year with Tampa in 21.
Stat-wise?
Yeah. He threw over 5,000 yards in 2021 with Tampa at 44 years old.
Love it.
And then in 07, that was 48-06, but he had the 50 touchdowns. He had 43 in 2021, 8 picks in 2007.
Just watch, it's funny. Watch the 2009 Titans game. They got beat 59-0.
Yeah.
And watch it in the snow and watching Moss just run free, and the connection they had was like, my goodness, that was just amazing. But they never put together one of the Super Bowl. And then Belichick bounced Moss out of there. He went back to Minnesota. They cut him. Then he ends up in Tennessee for a
cup of coffee.
For what was just, huh? And a what? And what's going on there?
I mean, we've kind of talked to Jeff Fisher about it, but like that whole thing, remember the whole, like, we can't put him and Brett on the field at the same time because they both play the X or something
it's
like that?
It's crazy like that. But I think a lot of that had to do with Fisher's just complete disdain for Vince Young and back and forth.
Yeah.
And Bud's love of Vince Young. And Vince didn't want to work. I mean, it was just talking to players like, nah, Vince didn't show up. Vince didn't, and it was protected. And that was ultimately – Vince Young has nobody to blame but himself for his crappy work ethic. Nobody. Because the Titans gave him every opportunity to get it done, and he just didn't get it done. And mentally, he just wasn't prepared to be a quarterback of the National Football League. I mean, he had flashes. And don't come here that he made All-Pro in 06 because, I mean, the Pro Bowl, because we know what a joke that is now. But it was something when Moss shows up in 2010, Vince throws his shoulder pads into the stands during the Redskins game. Remember who the Redskins quarterback was that day?
What year?
2010. That's a game where Rusty threw deep to Moss. Was like the only deep shot he had all year long.
Redskins quarterback. 22. I don't.
Donovan McNabb.
Oh, that's right.
And it was 1,000 degrees at Nissan Stadium. And
forgot
was,
he had that
yeah.
1 year.
So it was a thing where with Moss in that season, it's just chaotic. And it's been chaotic for a lot of years. That's why not the 19 season, Chase, was so much fun because it's like, all right, look at this team. You rallied around this team. Not a bunch of kind of no names were leading the way. A few superstars on the team, and you're kind of like, all right, that's a Nashville team. We like this team. And then somehow, some way, the organization was able to dismantle that football team after the 21 season, and then look what you got now. It's an epic collapse that somebody should write a little book about.
So the Titans continue to make some moves and – add to the front office and to the coaching staff. The report came out over the weekend that Dave Ziegler, who was the general manager of the Raiders up until this year, he's going to be brought in as assistant general manager under Mike Borgonzi.
What happened to Tom Telesco? Was he there only for a year?
I guess.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Ziegler comes in, and then I think I saw that Reggie McKenzie is probably who interviewed to be the GM.
Yeah.
is going to be a part of the staff as well.
And didn't they almost lose their quarterback coach?
Yeah, he interviewed with the Bears for the OC job.
Right.
And but the interesting – I think the most interesting moves are that we saw last year, last week that, Bones Fossil, they're bringing him in to coach special teams. They're also bringing in Raina Stewart, who was on his staff with Dallas, to be an assistant. So what's Colt Anderson going to do?
Right. And also Raina Stewart, former – was he a Titan or was he an Oiler Titan or was he –
I think he was a –
something.
He was both. He was a Houston and Tennessee Oiler in 96-97.
Okay.
So last year in Houston, first year here, and then he coached here, if you may remember.
Yeah.
2009 to 2010. And then he coached at he was the director of player development at Vanderbilt and actually coached at Vanderbilt in 15-17 and 2018. And now he's coming back. So we'll bring in Chris Sanders, who I believe was a teammate with Raina Stewart. Hello, Chris.
Yeah. He actually was my teammate. Funny story. He was a safety, and he wasn't a real good safety. So when we did one-on-one, we would look to see where he was at line, and then we'll go against him and then beat him in one-on-one. That's what I remember.
Well, I'll make sure.
Way to get better, Chris.
I'll make sure we tell him you said that.
That's one of my best friends, though.
All right.
I like that move. I like that they're bringing in John Fossil, to coach the special teams. I mean, that might be one of the smartest moves they've made in a while.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Now what you have to do is you're going to have to get some depth on guys who want to actually do that. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at last year, I know, Anderson didn't do that well, but look at the players that were on special teams. It was guys that, in respect for guys that wasn't making plays, because if you look at 1999, the guys that are on our special teams, I know you hate when I go back to that, but you had depth, you had guys that really, 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 really wanted to do that, and that's why our special teams were so good.
Let me ask you this, Chris. So sure. Mike Morganzi is hired as the general manager. Do sure. players care that, no. like, we sit here and go,
no.
Well, there's more to it. Hang on.
Yeah,
we sit here and we go, oh, well, he's come from a winning organization. He's with Kansas City and Andy Reid. Do players look at that and care like we do of he came for Kansas City? Or they're like, hey, just get good players in here. That's what we care about.
Nah, you're kind of looking at, is he bringing somebody in to replace me? That's kind of what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? So, even though they brought him in, he's got a wealth of guys that he brought. Look at what he did with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he drafted Patrick Mahomes, I think Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, Creed, Humphrey, and another guy that I really, really love is Pacheco, who is a great running back. So he has a great track record on what he's done. So we're just going to see what happens. But what I want to see in the whole thing is, how are all these cats going to work together? You got him, you got Brinker, you got Brian Callahan, you got guys that want to make decision. At the end of the day, who's going to make the decision?
All right, Chris, the Super Bowl is now set, Kansas City and Philadelphia. Let me ask you this. I remember talking to Tim Hasselbeck. He said when his brother went to the Super Bowl to Seattle in 2005, his brother put him in charge of all the tickets, anything having to do with the Super Bowl. When you got to the Super Bowl, I know you guys only had a week in between.
Oh, it was.
But did you get bombarded by friends you hadn't talked to in decades?
I found out I had cousins I didn't even know I had. I mean, I had one from Zimbabwe, like, hey, Chris, I'm talking, all that crazy stuff. I'm like, who are you? You're like, you're my cousin. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know you. But you do get that. And the funny thing about it is, you're right, we had that 1 week span. So it even quadrupled of all the stuff we had to do, because the funny thing about it is when we went and played Jacksonville for the AFC Championship, we already had our bags packed and put them in the meeting room. And then when we came back from there, we didn't even go home. We had to get our tickets. We had to get our gear that we packed up, and we had to automatically go because of the week. But, man, you're right. If I could do it all over again, I wish we would have had 2 weeks, because you really didn't have a chance to enjoy it because you had to do all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl.
I do. I remember I covered y'all's practice on that Tuesday at Georgia Tech. And it was like 35 degrees. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? That should be in Miami.
I know. It was snowing. It was ice on the field. I'm like, wait a minute. But, but at the end of the day, I'll never forget. My mom said this after we lost because, I was kind of sad that we lost. She whispered in my ear. She said this. She said, baby, you just fulfilled one of your dreams. So I went back. I'm like, hold up. I would love to play in the ice. I would love to play in a windstorm. I don't care if we practicing in the parking lot. just to play in a Super Bowl is something that is unexplainable.
Oh, I remember that week vividly, and you guys, what all you went through, and only the short week to get there and do that with that going on.
Yeah.
With that being said, let's talk about A.J. Brown. I mean, it's this fun. You know, we talk about him reading a book on the sidelines. I still Chase earlier. That Eagles team, it's dysfunctional. They hate each other. They love each other. It's our family. I mean, at the end of the day, you play for your family. They're no different than our family.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the thing about it is when you talk about a family, when you talk about love, when you talk about building something, it's got to be intentional because every team says it. Every team says the same logo. I mean, the same lingo every year. We're a family. We're going to work together. I love thee. How can I count the ways? All that crazy stuff. But the teams that win are the teams that do it intentionally. If you look at the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year, when A.J. Brown wasn't getting the ball as much, he started to get upset. And I understand him being upset he wants the ball, but at the end of the day, you got to look at the vision of where we're going. Our vision is to win a Super Bowl, and when you have that and you surround yourself with guys like that, then I think it'll make the situation good.
What's it like? I mean, you did it with Eddie George, but you see Saquon Barkley as a wide receiver, and I know you didn't block when you played, but to see running down the field and Eddie outrunning you, that had to be so awesome to see
okay,
that.
Time out. Timeout. Eddie's not outrunning me. I will trip Eddie. I mean, no. But here's a funny story. We were playing the Indianapolis Colts. You remember when he broke that long run and he keeps looking up to see if he's going to get caught? I was right behind him because I was getting ready to block one of those guys. But I was just watching how I knew Eddie was fast. And everybody, okay, well, he's 4'5", 4'3", whatever. But when he gets in the open field, man, that joke can get it down. So me as a wide receiver, I'll do whatever it takes to block for my teammates because at the end of the day, it ain't about how many passes I caught, how many this. It's about us as a team, us as a family, us as an organization going to the Super Bowl, not Chris Sanders catching passes.
Chris, whenever you, broke a long run, did you talk to yourself while you were running?
No, because I knew nobody was going to catch me.
I could just see – have you ever seen the movie Bad Boys 2? Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, and there's a part where Martin Lawrence calls this kid that's taking his daughter out a young Thundercat.
Oh yeah,
I can just see you just be like, "You're a Thundercat, Chris Sanders, just running down the field." I can see it.
But you know what? I almost got caught once though. In 1996, we were playing the Seattle Seahawks, and I ran a comeback, broke it for a long run, and a safety almost caught me, and I got talked about for about 2 weeks straight. So hey, you just got to make it do what it do, like Ray Charles said, baby.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Chris, thanks for moving around for
us.
We'll talk to you on Friday.
Hey, appreciate it. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
You too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program. And always enjoy that. He'll be back with us at his normal time of 10 o'clock on Friday. Chris Brett Kern at 10 o'clock today. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.